I wonder at one point if you'd be willing to speak about the value of living in community. And obviously a hallmark of Lhompur Cha's teaching in his monasteries is the emphasis on communal practice. So I think a lot of us show up with preconceived notions, like an idea of how it's going to be in right practice, and a lot of that is usually community-oriented. It's like right. a solitary striving journey, and I'm wondering if you, just the value of community practice.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that in terms of that, that living, because, I mean, one, Sangha is one of the refuges, and many of the structures that we live by are quite neat, you know, quite clearly laid out in the Vinaya, and but then it's taking that that communal practice and using it as a basis for not just our day-to-day living and getting things done, but also for our reflection, investigation on how do we live together as human beings, and because so much of our discomfort is usually around other people either feeling it, being in conflict or being having different views or just being completely confused by where is this person come from? Where are they from? What planet do they come from? So that ability to sort of recognize that there are all these different differences in personalities, and so much of it is like we ourselves trying to fix have something that is of a fixed quality in our experience of the world, and we try to create that through fixing our identity in terms of place. I mean, this is me. This is who I am. This, in terms of our sense of time of what we're. When we're going to have things done in the way we want it, and getting to the future, and being here, so that as we learn how to live together as human, you really the only way to do it skillfully is learning how to be present and learning how to adapt with mindfulness and discernment. There's really nuanced, but certainly just having, I sort of speak of it lightly, but just having living in community is supportive. Because we tend, when we live together as a group, is usually we tend not to be depressed, miserable, and discouraged all at the same time. So there's so there's at least usually a goodly number of people who are you can look to and say, okay, they're getting on with their practice, and so okay, and then sometimes you can be that person for others, but it's incredibly supportive, because on our own, our inspiration, our energy, it goes up and down, and uh, So that it helps to smooth that out and support a consistency in practice. I think it was also interesting that the monk teacher who Ajahn Chah picked the more communal aspect of practice up from was Lumpa Tonglat, and because who was also a more of a senior disciple of Ajahn Mun. He's Mahanikai, so he didn't live with him consistently, but but he was somebody who was I think the way he trained, I think he found it useful for his own temperament. He tended to be a bit extreme in his he's a real character. And he, I think it was really, he had to adapt and adjust, because his natural tendency would be to go to different extremes, so it helped to keep him. So I think Ajahn Chah, who was also, could be quite extreme, helped to sort of give a good grounding a good container for the various fluctuations in mood and view that inevitably come up. That's an aspect that does give an important container. It also, just having to, it's easy to prop up views and opinions if you don't have anybody else that you communicate with. I mean, you create your own little world in your perfect bubble of either a positive world or a negative world, a particular take on the Dhamma, but it's in communication with others that those tend to be either, because I'm sure everybody here has experienced that, where sort of like in your own mind you've got a particular kind of, maybe insider perspective on the practice or on Dhamma. And then as soon as you start to talk about it with somebody else, and it starts going all wonky at the edges. You realize, that wasn't so well thought out after all. And so then you have to go back and reflect on it again and consider it. And so it helps us to clarify, or to either to clarify or to even to drop some of the views that we hold. And then, of course, being in proximity to others, then you start to hear others' perspectives, and that opens up our opportunity for accommodating different views, different perspectives on the Dhamma. So those are some, that just comes up. There's lots of things to be explored. I think one of the things that particularly in terms of say community as a and particularly how Ajahn Chah holds it, and is the community really relying on each other, and the communal sharing of requisites. It's very important in terms of creating community, that we live together and, you know, there, because in one, not having money, and many, and most communities, most sanghas and sangha members usually carry money, have money, use money. So then there's a competition for resources. Or even if you're not handling money, then if you've got stewards who are doing it, and then there's a sort of competition for individual stewards to look. And Ajahn Chah really didn't, that wasn't a part of the training. It's sort of everything's held in common. All the requisites are given to the Sangha. If somebody has a need, they can request the Sangha for things. That creates an evenness where one lives together for practicing Dhamma, as opposed to worrying about either popularity or material security.